Always glad to be back again with my brothers and sisters in Christ on the Lord's Day. He's blessed us with a beautiful day. The sun's shining. Yes, it's a little chilly out there with the wind, but nevertheless, it's another day that the Lord has given us. And we all know He gives us so many things the blessings are actually countless. And when we get really get right down to it, think about all that He does for us. And we know that the greatest thing He ever did for mankind was something that He had planned from the very beginning as salvation, a way to have forgiveness for our sins. And we know, just like in Brother Bobby's prayer there, that it took a great sacrifice in order for us to get that. And yet so many today really don't appreciate it the way that they should. When He shed that precious, when He bled out His life's blood there on that cross, and did it just for us because He had no sin of His own. And we all know that, I know. But it's something that we need to, think back and recall what He did for us and how important it is to follow His commands and follow His word that He has blessed us with so richly. I want you to look at something that was said over there in the book of Exodus in chapter 19, verses 7 through 8. Now, Moses had delivered the Israelites from the Egyptian bondage, and he leads them to Mount Sinai, where they are going to receive God's message. And upon getting there, Moses goes up to God for the initial message for them, to deliver to them. And these words right here, when he returned in Exodus 19, 7 and 8, says, "And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, 'All that the Lord has spoken we will do.' And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord." Now I want us to look at that in our lesson. This will be the center point of our lesson. He delivered to them all the things that He was supposed to deliver. And they made the promise that they would listen to all that had been spoken there, that they would, obey. The thing about Moses there, he delivered exactly what he was supposed to. He didn't vary from it. He didn't add to it. He didn't take away from it because he knew better. And yet there's so many in the world today that's doing that very thing. Paul, he made very clear, when you look over there in the book of Acts in chapter 20, what he did. When he spoke to those people right there, when he said there in chapter 20 of Acts, in verse 20, he said, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. He kept nothing back. Just as Moses there had kept nothing back from those people there when he delivered the message that the Lord had sent him to tell them. And we all know that, just as Paul also said in that same chapter of Acts 20 and verse 27, he said, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." He knew the consequences of not telling everything that he was supposed to. And yet so many people today, they have no fear there. That's the problem of this world today. Yes, as I said there in Bible study this morning, yes, people wants things their way. People wants to please themselves. But at the same time, in doing so, they're not showing any fear whatsoever of the Lord. Just as Solomon said there in the book of Ecclesiastes, "Fear God and keep His commandments, the whole duty of man." But yet so many today don't show God their reverence. When we read in the Old Testament there, the consequences of those that didn't show Him fear, what happened? It was terrible on their part. But when they obeyed Him, as we all know, wonderful things were given to them. He supplied them with all their needs. This is what Peter also said over here in 1 Peter 4, verse 11. He said, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So just as Peter said, just as Paul said, just as Moses said, the whole everything, whatever the Lord said, say it. You know, when someone, and I'll get to that in just a moment, concerning, well, you take the situation in the land anymore, and it's been going on for years, with marriage and remarriage, adultery and so forth. You know, the questions that comes if, you know, they use that, what if this and what if that. You know, I can't get into that. I don't have the authority to do that. Just like anything else, the only thing I can do is tell people the words. And when I tell people the words from the Bible, you know, some wants to say, well, you're judging me. No, I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And if the Bible says no, then that's what they need to do. And if the Bible says they're guilty of something, it's God's word that says they're guilty. It's not me. I want to do what the Lord says, and I try my best to. But, you know, this is the way the world is today. You know, Christ, before he ascended into heaven, what did he tell those disciples, his apostles right there in Matthew 28? Didn't he tell them there to go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe what? All things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. To teach them all things that he has commanded them. They were not to hold back anything. And, you know, when we look over there in the Gospel of John in chapter 21 over there, and in verse 25, it speaks about how the many things that Christ did, the actions that he did, you know, the teachings that he did. He says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So when Jesus Christ said not to lie, he didn't, you know, that's it. It's cut and dry. That's just the way it is. You don't have to say, well, now there's little lies and there's big lies. No, it's just a lie is a lie. And we all know the consequences of being a liar. And there's some people in the world, honestly, if their lips are moving, they're lying. That's sad to say that about some people. I've been around them before. I'm sure you probably have too, one time or another. But the sad part of that is, where is their destiny? Well, the book of Revelation makes it very clear. And we know that it's the works of the flesh, but look at what else is the final result in Revelation 21 and in verse 8. Now, along with all these other things that's mentioned in this verse 8 in chapter 21 of Revelation, we see the liars too. It says, but the fearful, unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Right along with all those others right there. Now, we all know over there in the book of Galatians, there is something mentioned there as well. It mentions the works of the flesh. And we'll get back to this in just a moment, but I just want to look at that very quickly here in Galatians chapter 5, the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh in verse 19, chapter 5, are manifest. In other words, they're made known, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So that right there tells me, you know, I don't have to say any more. When I tell somebody this right here is the works of the flesh, these are the things that we need to be on guard about. These are the things that we need to shy away from. There's nothing else to say. There's no in-betweens right there. You know, when Christ made it very clear over there, he said you can't serve God and mammon. You can't have two masters. We're either going to be a slave to the Lord or we're going to be a slave to sin. And that's just the way it works, sir. But the point also I want to make is that Moses right there, Paul, Peter, and the other apostles there, they made it, when they spoke, they made it very clear what the commands were. And Paul, you know, he knew what was coming. He knew that how the reactions would be from some right there. because it was already taking place. We know that in our Bible study and reading the gospel, didn't the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, lawgivers, all of them, didn't they want it their way? Didn't they want the teachings to be their way? Didn't they want it to be to please them? That's the reason why they raised such a fuss. That's the reason why they wanted Jesus dead. They thought that by killing him, they killed the word. Can't do that. If you burned all the Bibles in this world right now, it still would not change one thing concerning God's word. It would still stand. It would still be the final say-so. It would still be what judges us on the final day. And yet so many of the world today, just like Paul stated over there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, verses that we've read many times before, but we see how that it's come to pass, how that it was happening then, and it's still that way today. And we see it on a larger scale, it seems like. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now let's stop right there just a second. You know, I got to proclaim the word, and any of you out here talking one-on-one, you have to do the same thing. Whether it rebukes, whether it encourages or exhorts, whether it whatever it does, we still have to do what? The word. And we got to be ready. You know, we all need to be ready to give an answer for the reason or the hope that we have within us. And it has to come from this right here. It can't be something that we've dreamed up on our own, can it? But continuing on right here, he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Yes, we all know that this is what's taking place today. It was taking place back then, and it's still taking place. Why? Because many refuse today, not just the ones that wants to hear something different, then we got people that refuse to teach all that God says about different subjects. They got people that refuses to say all there is to say about being saved. You have some that says, well, it's by grace only. Grace is part of it. It's by the grace of God that we can have salvation. But that's not all. We know that it takes faith, too. When I look in the book of James over here, and I look in the book of James in chapter 2, I see that faith is not enough. I have to have works. And yet so many of the people today, what do they say about works? Oh, if it's works, then you can't do enough to be saved. No, I can't do enough. But by the grace of God and faith in Jesus Christ, his Son, I have to have works to show that I have faith. What did James, he made a point of saying this right here in verse 17 of James chapter 2. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And I've heard of some there that have actually just completely taken the book of James out. They don't even look at it. They don't want to see that part about works. They want to be able to be saved and do nothing. They don't want to have no works. But what did James just say? If you don't have works, faith is dead. And to just say you have faith, as we all know, as we continue here in verse 18, he says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. This is how we show the world our faith, isn't it? And if I'm going to teach about faith, and I'm going to teach about works, and I'm going to teach about grace, I got to teach what the Bible says, don't I? I can't add to it. I can't take away from it. I wouldn't dare do that. But, you know, many today just don't have that enough fear of the Lord, or they would be afraid to have anything else or obey anything else. You know, so much of the world today is they're just like Paul noted over there. In the, excuse me, 2 Corinthians in chapter 11 and verse 3. He says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Just as the serpent, we know who it was. It was the devil there in the Garden of Eden. And how he deceived. And that's what Satan does. He deceives people. That's his greatest act out here, on his part, that is deceiving people into thinking, I don't have to do nothing. All I have to do is say, I believe in Jesus, and go on about my business. Didn't Jesus say, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Why are you calling them? Why do they do that? Because they want it their way. But you know what? This book right here don't have Burger King wrote on it. You know, Burger King commercials used to say, have it your way, didn't it? No, it don't work that way, does it? We know it don't work that way. But going back over to James chapter 2, talking about works and faith together, look what he said. He said in verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Didn't the devils recognize Jesus Christ that these people were possessed with? They knew who he was. There was the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes standing around. They couldn't even recognize Jesus Christ as the Son of God. The devils did. They knew who he was. And they trembled. And yet so many people today are not trembling. They don't have that fear that they should have. People today are refusing to preach to all that they should. They're not like Moses and Paul and Peter and the rest of them there. They're not teaching all that they are supposed to be, that they're commanded to teach. And they even refuse to talk about and teach all there is about the church. I know that there are congregations up and down this road here and there and about that's not saying there's only one church. Or they're saying that they're a part of it, but at the same time, they're not. If they're not teaching what he says, are they not a part? Are they not a part of that true vine over here? Are they what Christ was talking about in chapter 15 of the Gospel of John? You know, Christ said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. But he said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And if we're not a part of that branch, he's talking about individuals here. And I've had people say, he's talking about all the different churches here. No, he's talking about us as individuals there. But as we all know, when he's talking about the church, he's talking about the one that he told Peter there that he would build. He said, I'll build mine. And I know we all familiar with that verse right there. But yet so many people today will balk at that. They won't even mention it. They don't teach all that they are commanded to teach. We know that in Ephesians 4, there's only one body. And we know in Ephesians chapter 1, whose body that is, it's Christ. And we know who the head of it is. And we also know its organization. We see that in the action there in the book of Acts, in the early days of the church, how that it was to be carried out, how that the worship was to be carried out. There's no mention of musical instruments. There's no mention of fellowship halls that we see going on in the world today. And we're not just talking about denominations. There's people that have claiming that they're the Lord's church and having all these things. They're not teaching all that they are commanded to do. You know, the purpose of the church is to spread the gospel, to teach, to edify. And yet, there's so many people today that are going beyond that. When someone asks me what the purpose of the church is and what its work is, I have to tell them exactly what's there, and I'm not going to go beyond that. I would be afraid. I would be scared to death for my soul. And yet, and like I said earlier there, they're also refusing to teach about morality. They balk at teaching any. They don't want to say anything about homosexuality, and how that is an abomination, and how that it is a sin that they have to repent of, just like adultery, it has to be repented of, just like fornication. You know, Brother Frank in his lesson this morning pointed out both of those, what adultery was and what fornication is, and I know that everyone here knows what they are. There's no need to say what it is. But obviously the world needs to know. But the thing is, when someone says, well, what if What if I marry? What if this happened? No, it don't matter what no what ifs are. When I look at what the Word says, when I look over here in the book of Matthew, when I look in chapter 19 of the book of Matthew, now Brother Frank looked in chapter 5 this morning, and it says the same thing in the book of Matthew, in chapter 19, in verse 9, concerning adultery. He says, "Now I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery." Now, when I read that, I'm not judging no one. The Word is judging. And I'm not going to vary one bit on it. How many times you hear people, well, what if this? What if that? It don't matter no what ifs. It still holds the same right there. They don't have a special circumstance. If they have divorced someone for other than fornication, in other words, unfaithfulness, then they committed adultery when they remarry again. And not only that, they've caused that person to commit adultery. That's what he said there. Because he said, "Whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery." That's the bottom line right there. I can't say no more than that, and I can't say no less than that. Yet we see so many today that are saying, well, that's okay. That if you've obeyed the gospel, all that's forgiven. What about repentance? They forget about repentance. If you're still in that unscriptural marriage, it was still unscriptural. I don't care what you've done. I don't care if they dunked you in this baptistry a million times. It's still adultery. Nothing's changed there. People get themselves in these situations right here. And it's a sad situation because we know that kids are involved in a lot of those situations. But it's something that the Lord didn't do. It's something that the Lord warned us about. And our young people need to realize these things. And they need to be very careful and they need to be very serious about who they choose to marry. If it's someone that has been married before, why are they not married now? They need to look into these things. Unfortunately, they don't do those things. And they have parents that don't tell them no better. You know, it just goes on and on. But just like drinking alcohol in the world today. You know, people that think, you know, that's social drinking, that's all right. You know, when we looked over there in the book of Galatians a while ago in chapter 5, didn't it mention something about drunkenness there in verse 21? Well, yeah, it did. Drunkenness. So you don't need something that perverts your way of thinking, that does something with your mind. Look with me over here in the book of Proverbs. You know, he speaks about this in Proverbs chapter 23, in this section right here. Chapter 23, verse, and starting in verse 29, concerning drinking. He said, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine." Doesn't that describe a drunk right to a T? It says, those that have woe and sorrow, well, yeah, they got woe and sorrow, especially after they've tried to sober up, but even while they was drunk, wounds, getting fights, cause fusses and going on, this and that. Some of them even getting in behind the wheel of a car and either getting themselves killed. More often than not, they end up killing someone else. He says, but it's those that tarry long at the wine, those that wants to drink. And he says in verse 31 also, "Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of the mast. They have stricken me, shalt they say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." Yeah, that's what it does to people. It causes you to say things that you normally wouldn't say. Causes you to do things, causes you to be with the wrong kind of people. Yes. That's why he said there in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. It's not a wise thing to do, but so many of the world today will not speak out on it because they have some that likes to social drink. It's sad that. And those, what about modest apparel? It's one thing when you see people of the world out here wearing clothing that's not modest. Unfortunately, it goes on within the church too at times, not wearing modest apparel. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, it says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves, and it's not just women that needs to wear modest apparel, men need to too, and with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Wear clothing that is decent, modest, not anything that shows nakedness and otherwise. This is the things that are commands of the Lord. I'm not no fashion consultant. All I can tell you is wear something modest. That's what God's word says, isn't it? I'm not going beyond that. But this is why that Moses told all that he said that he would tell, that he was supposed to. That's why the apostles told everything they were supposed to tell. But the thing about these people right here, when Moses told them people what the Lord said, they said that they would do all that God said. Everyone said that they would keep those commandments. They would do what the Lord had told them to do. But that didn't last long, did it? We all know what took place there in Exodus chapter 32 when Moses was up on that mountain and how that Aaron, his brother, took the earrings and the rings there and of gold and melted them down and made a golden calf and how that they were worshiping that golden calf. This is what Paul noted over there in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 5 through 10, talking about how that so many there had failed because of this sinful act that they had done, and how that God knew what they were doing, and how he told Moses to get back down there. He said, I'm getting ready to destroy them all and start all over with you. And Moses spoke to the Lord and talked him out of it, and he repented and didn't do it. And so, but just how quick that happened, how many today that we see have, after obeying the gospel, they turn away, and it seems like it's just overnight. But little by little, you see the results. They don't build upon that faith. It's just like that parable of the sower that talks about the different soils. Some of the soils, the seed doesn't take, but the one does. And that's the ones where the seed grows, the Word of God, as we know what it is. And they build on that faith. That's something that we have to work on. It's something that we have to continually work on, because if we don't work on it, we'll lose it. And people will say, well, you don't know what's going on in my life. No, I don't. But I know one thing for sure. It's not something that's uncommon to man. That's what God's word says over here. He tells us when we are tempted, and I know that's what happened in their lives, that there was a temptation. But I also know that temptation was not uncommon, because we have a promise in God's word. Whatever that temptation was, it wasn't nothing unusual. That's what I would have to say. And I also know that God will not have them tempted above what they're able to bear. So there you go again. He also gave them a way of escape. There you go again. What happened? They just simply did not build on their faith. They didn't add to that faith. They didn't work on that faith. And you look at the ones, those that have been followers there. Look at Demas that you read about in Philemon 24. How that he was one that was a fellow worker with Paul. But later on, he was one that forsaked him. And he mentioned him there in 2 Timothy 4:10. Look at Judas there, Judas Iscariot. He was with Jesus Christ all that time. And what happened? He betrayed him. Yes. There are those that falls away. And there'll still be those. And it's sad that it happens like that. And just like some of the apostles there, and Peter too as well, that denied Christ, and how that the apostles also said the same thing, but they all scattered when he was arrested. These are the things that took place. people just simply, we know that they repented and they were forgiven. But we know today that there are those that will obey the gospel and they shy away and go right back to the world. It's sad that these things take place. Look at how many obeys and they forget their promise that they made when they obeyed the gospel, when they made that confession there. Someone said, well, you're judging me. No, I'm not. I'm telling you what the Bible says. We made a vow, just like Brother Frank said in his lesson this morning. We made a promise to the Lord that we were His and that we would follow Him. And so many today are not keeping them promises. They're going back out into the world. They're allowing this world out here to entice them. But what, like I said earlier, they don't have the fear of the Lord that they should have. Otherwise, they would be following and doing what they were commanded to do. Just like I said earlier, when you look there in the book of Luke, chapter 8, verses 13 and 14, it says, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with the cares of riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Two of the three fell away. Three souls for the seed, the word of God, different people, and they fell away. One of them did, or two did. And it still goes on. But yet, we still cannot stop presenting the word in its purity. Still have to give the whole commands, all the whole counsel of the Lord's word. And that's what we must do and continue to do. I see our time has gotten away from us. I thank you for this, the opportunity to present a lesson from God's word. I know it's things that we have went over many, many times, but it's something that we need to keep in our memories because, yes, people will fall away, but we need to be on guard making sure that we don't fall away, that we stay rooted in our faith, that we stay planted, that we remain steadfast, because we know that if we don't, we lose out on the most greatest thing that could ever happen. That's a home in heaven one day. Brother Jeff has chosen a song of invitation, and if we can help or assist anyone, would you come as we stand and sing?